Arizona's U.S. Senator visits Yuma County, and Arizona is the nation's leader in school choice. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Senator Mark Kelly visited Yepes Automotive in Somerton late last week. The small auto repair shop business owner said he's feeling the pinch of tariffs.
It's hard. We have to constantly be adjusting our prices and be mindful of our prices in order to be competitive and in order to stay in business.
And we're exploring school choice with students and educators from three alternative schools in Yuma County.
But I understood that if I want to get that life that I so dreamed of, then I need to do this.
Those stories and some reporting from our KAWC student journalists coming up next on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. U.S. Senator Mark Kelly met with a small business owner in Somerton recently to discuss how Trump tariffs are impacting his auto repair shop business. Senator Kelly met with Jose Yepes, the owner of Yepes Automotive and former mayor of Somerton. Yepes told Kelly that the cost for many auto parts is up 10 to 15%. Kelly said he will continue to fight for Arizona small business owners like Yepes in the Senate.
I'm here with Jose in his shop, Yepes Automotive, and we were talking about just how business is and how it's changed over the years for him and how he's gone from a transition from an auto parts store to just a auto repair shop that has now offering welding classes, big need for welders out there. But we're talking about the impacts that tariffs have on his small business, but also on families and the price of groceries. You know, one of his staff members here is mechanics. I was talking about like the price of things like food and coffee and have just gone up because we have an administration that has raised prices on the American people. In some cases, dramatically. Fortunately, Supreme Court just ruled that those tariffs were illegal. So they've gone away for now, but the president said he's going to double down on this and continue to give American families a bad deal. So it's good to be here with him.
I asked Jose Yepes what it meant to speak directly to Senator Kelly in Somerton.
It was great because, he took the time of his busy schedule to come take a look and see what's really going on with the small businesses in Somerton. I was honored to have him here and show him what we go through on a day-to-day basis to make ends meet for our mechanics, for our customers, and for our business. It's hard. We have to constantly be adjusting our prices and be mindful of our prices in order to be competitive and in order to stay in business.
I also asked Yepes how his customers are responding to higher prices at his shop and what it means for his small staff.
Customers sometimes, if they're having a car fix, they'll either wait a little bit longer to get their car fixed, or they'll try and order parts online, where sometimes they don't. These companies don't have the overhead that we have, so there'll be a little bit cheaper price on there. And so, it's one of those things where we try to get the customers over here so that we can work on their vehicles and do the best affordable job we can on there. But some of them are still hesitating a little bit. And when they do is because they've managed to pay all their other bills and stuff, and they have some money to be able to work on their vehicles. And so in the long run, it's just one car here, two cars there, three cars there, but it adds up at the end of the month. And that's, you know, it passes on to my employees where they're not working, you know, enough time. And so they take that home also. And so it affects us tremendously.
Senator Kelly has been in the news recently. Last month, NPR reported that a federal judge in Washington, D.C. granted Kelly's request for a preliminary injunction against Pete Hegseth. This is in a lawsuit filed by Kelly accusing the defense secretary of trying to punish him for his political speech. Kelly sued Hegseth in January. It was 1 week after Hegseth moved to formally censure Kelly for participating in a video where he and other Democratic lawmakers told U.S. service members they can refuse illegal orders. Hegseth said he will appeal the judge's decision. I asked Senator Kelly for his thoughts.
Well, he lost in court. Federal judge said he was violating my constitutional rights of freedom of speech, but also the constitutional rights of over 2 million retired service members. So he lost. Now he's going to appeal it to the D.C. Circuit Court. You know, they're just doubling down on, just bad decisions. First of all, they shouldn't have, you know, tried to demote me and reduce me in rank. The president, though, through his Department of Justice that he seems to be commanding, tried to send me to jail about 3 weeks ago. And a grand jury of just regular people unanimously told him to take a hike. Ain't happening. So that sort of went away for a while, but I don't put anything past these guys. I mean, Pete Hegseth, if he wants to do this, he wants to go back to court, bring it on, because the law is on my side, and I have confidence in the judicial system and the American people.
While he was in Yuma County, Senator Kelly also visited produce fields with farmers and farm workers during harvest and met with local elected officials at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma. Senator Kelly also met with supporters and visited students, faculty, and staff at Tierra del Sol Elementary School in Somerton. For KAWC News in Somerton, I'm Victor Calderon.
For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer. In the U.S., school choice isn't just about picking whichever school you'd like, although that is the goal. It refers to a policy framework that allows public funds to follow students to the schools or services they feel best fit their needs. And this varies state to state. Arizona, however, is considered the nation's leader in school choice due to its Universal School Voucher Program. The state was the first to expand eligibility to any K-12 students in 2022. Since then, more families have taken advantage of the program, using Empowerment Scholarship Account funds and choosing between charter, private, or homeschooling, among other options. Desert View Academy, which recently received a visit from Arizona School's Chief Tom Horn, is one such school families might pick in Yuma, and many do. Principal Annalisa Angulo told us why.
All schools teach reading, all schools teach writing, all schools teach math. So that is something that is embedded to all education institutions. In addition, I'm a strong advocate that there are great teachers in all the schools here in Yuma. However, I love Desert View. It is my school of choice. My girls came here, and I think a good indicator of a great school is that the educators that teach here, their kids come here. And I think that shows that Desert View prioritizes not only academics, but the student as a whole. I often tell students and parents as well that the marker that lets us know we're doing a good job is when kids succeed outside of Desert View.
As an educator, Angulo actually began her career at Desert View, and she never really left.
So when we talk about school of choice, it's also for educators. I choose to be here. I choose to make this my career. My girls, my two girls, started at Desert View and ended at Desert View. You can speak to all the parents here on campus. They value it in their career, but they value it as a parent. So it's great that those teachers entrust their peers to help educate their children because they themselves see the value in education. So, and my daughter's a senior, and she started at Desert View, and she still has strong connections options here. And my other daughter's going to start high school. And I can see her strong foundation in school really started here. The importance of education starts in elementary. They got to love it.
For some educators, school choice is about investing in a campus community. For others, it's about expanding families' control over where and how their children learn. Principal Deborah Guerrero from Southwestern Christian School put it this way.
I am a product of the public school system, and I'm a staunch believer in parents having a choice to send their kids to school wherever they think is best for their school. Not every child is a good fit for public school, and some children do need that little extra help. My children all went to public school, but having the opportunity to choose where your child can go to school and having much more say than just your local home community school, I think is really important for parents.
Each year for National School Choice Week in January, Southwestern holds a special celebration in their chapel where families and alumni talk why school choice matters to them. This year, the through line was relationships.
The thing that they talked about the most was the relationships that they built with their teachers. That in public school, they do their best to build relationships with teachers. But here, because of who we are and how we can work with kids in a smaller environment, they were able to build on that. And the teachers were able to really, truly get to know the student more than just a grade or, you know, another child in their class. And I think that's huge because our kids need to be heard, need to be seen, and it really helped them with their academic journey.
As a private school, Southwestern pairs academics with a Christian worldview. But it's not just Bible study, according to Guerrero.
It truly is more than just putting your kid in a religious school. It's beyond that. It's, you know, we can do things with our students, like we're able to provide lots of opportunity. For instance, our eighth graders, they get to spend an entire week at SeaWorld, living at SeaWorld in the dorms, studying and doing classes and things like that in biology and all the other sciences. My kids never had that opportunity in public school, and it makes me sad. I wish all of our kids could do that. So school choice kind of gives those extra opportunities for families to be able to do that and have a little more say in what their child is learning, how they're learning. And, you know, yes, because we're a Christian private school, having that additional opportunity to be able to share our faith through academics is kind of nice, but it's a combination of all those things.
Kyla Giroux, who attended Southwestern and now works as an administrative assistant, shared that faith was the reason she chose the school when she moved to Arizona in 2011.
I will say for me specifically, one of the major benefits that I had going to this school was the religious side. I know that's not the case for everybody, but for me specifically, it did greatly impact my faith. The Christian environment and being able to hear about Jesus and have weekly chapels and worship, that really impacted me a lot. And I really do believe that carried me into where I am today, which I'm very heavily involved in my church and in ministry.
The academic side of it is also a plus in Giroux's view.
It's so beautiful that we can give our families in this state an option to have an environment for their education that's not just religious, but also that is rigorous and intense. You know, our curriculum is not easy, and we tell parents that when they send their kids here. We just remind them, like, you know, we're happy to have you. But, you know, just as a reminder, we're very intentional with who we let into the school because we want to set up our kids for success, and our curriculum is not easy.
Parochial schools make up a significant portion of public school alternatives. But some schools are set up to focus on students who need help finishing their education. In Yuma, Educational Opportunity Center Charter High School, or EOC Charter High School, primarily functions as a second chance school, helping kids earn their high school diplomas.
We are 16 to 21, so we kind of are a recapture school. Some kids need to catch up. They end up graduating late. Some come and graduate early. Some just need the smaller environment and a little bit more support.
That was Amber Seigen, who wears various hats at the school. She told KAWC that schools like EOC draw parents because of their smaller classrooms.
Well, for us, I think it's the support and the individual attention because it's so small. Staff knows all students. Students know all staff. A lot of times we have generations and family and, you know, children of graduates that come here, brothers, sisters, cousins, but it's because it works. And so we end up having generations of families that graduate from here as well. And plus we think outside the box.
And because of that, they offer a pretty tight-knit community.
We're family. We're family. So there's a lot of things even that don't have to do with the school that they may come to talk to us about. And that's parents and guardians as well, grandparents, other siblings. We are family. And so we provide support beyond just education.
EOC senior Lynn Campos can testify to that. She came to EOC never having liked school. Her prior experience was lacking in support and kindness, which she said haunted her.
My sister actually dragged me here the first time, but I backed out with fear and I was super scared because I was not at the right mental space. But I understood that if I want to get that life that I so dreamed of, then I need to do this. So I ended up going here with little confidence. I gave little goals for myself and I just cannot believe how wonderful this charter high school is. I thought it was going to be horrible. I thought everyone's going to be rude, quiet, or the teachers, especially the teachers, but they completely turned my world around.
Like many EOC students, Campos has benefited from the opportunity to recover credits and do more with other services like those offered by the Southwest Technical Education District of Yuma.
I am a senior now, and they helped me recover my credits. So very quickly too. And they even gave me, they not just give you the education you need, they as well give you opportunities. And I myself am now a proud student of study and I'm in the medical assisting, and it's not because of my hard work, but it's also because of my student council and my principal. And they see more than just a student. They see a person and they're willing to sacrifice to give you the future you deserve.
Whether it's a neighborhood school, a charter campus, or a private program, Arizona families have more pathways than most. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation. Stay tuned after the break to hear some of our student reporters' latest work.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
Welcome back to Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Every week, we look to bring you the best of our original reporting on what's going on in Yuma and La Paz counties. Today, we'll be sharing a little bit from the latest episode of Siendo Primero. Student reporters Sahe Barcenas and Melanie Ruiz Lopez explore how students today are navigating a difficult job market.
Can you present yourself?
Hi, my name is Rogelio Torres. My major is in culinary arts.
Why do you choose culinary arts?
It became my dream since when I was 7 years old. I started helping my mom when she was in the kitchen, and I fell in love with the art of being in the kitchen and the art of making food and making people happy.
People think cooking is easy. What is the hardest part of being in a professional kitchen?
People think cooking is easy because they just see the front of the house, you know, when you guys put the food out there. No, it's actually really hard being in a professional kitchen because you have a lot of pressure of the executive chef, and the chef is yelling at you all the orders, and you have to be under pressure. You're working with a lot of pressure. That's the hardest part of the kitchen, and learning how to work in a small kitchen because you have 20 people in a small space.
How do you prepare for a job if you don't have any experience in a restaurant yet?
Is basically you start from the bottom. You always start as a dishwasher and you make your way up to becoming a line cook or a garmager. It's like garmager, you work with cold food, and then you start working up with your ears. If they could see your potential, they make you as a chef without going to school. But with the school and the associates or a degree, you could start as a line cook, and then after that you become a chef.
Do you think it's hard to get experience?
You have to put the work in. If you don't put the work in the kitchen, you are never going to go anywhere. But if you put the work in, if you want to go somewhere in the kitchen, you have to put the work in.
What is your biggest dream after you graduate from AWC?
After I graduate my associates with culinary arts is becoming a chef and also opening my own restaurant. For a couple years, And then after that, opening my own academy because I love how to teach young people, my majors of culinary arts. That's my dream.
Thank you so much. From Siendo Primero, I'm Melanie Ruiz López. We just heard the interview I had with Rogelio Torres. It's amazing how a dream he had as a little boy is becoming a reality right here at AWC.
En serio que me gustó escuchar a Rogelio con esa pasión.
I know, right? Rogelio is a great example that no job is too small.
Yes, it's all about building that path, one step at a time.
And speaking of that, we went out to the campus to talk to other students to hear their thoughts. Let's listen to a flash interview.
Welcome, everyone. This is a flash interview. Can I have your names?
My name is Leobardo Mesa. I'm studying administration of justice with the emphasis of homeland security.
My name is Mia Rodriguez. My major is psychology.
Mi nombre es Carlo Armenta y mi major es biología.
We want to know, what is your dream job and what is the scariest part of looking for it?
My dream job is to become a Border Patrol agent and be a canine unit. The scary part of looking for this is that I don't have a great vision. For that, you always need to have a good vision for anything that comes.
My dream job is to be a child psychologist. The scariest part of that job is the education that I'm pursuing is a very long one, and it's just like not having anything distract me from completing that dream.
Ser cirujano es mi idea principal. Apenas llevo como 2 años viviendo aquí, entonces es difícil adaptarme a todo. Le tengo que poner ese 100%, si no, no la voy a armar.
Thank you, everyone. From Siendo Primero, I'm Sahei Bárcenas. College is hard, but graduating and facing the real world, that is scary. We all ask the same thing. How can I get a job without experience? In this occasion, we talk to a professional who sees this every day.
I'm Michael Rose. I'm senior graphic designer here at Arizona Western College. I'm also an adjunct faculty and teach page composition using Adobe InDesign.
We do our homework. We get the grades. But then we look around and see some students who are already moving forward. From his point of view, there's a clear reason.
I've noticed a lot of the students that I've known that have become more successful, they were really pushing themselves while taking classes. They also were getting more involved. They would do projects of their own, not just what the assignments we give them. Having the drive to succeed and being able to go after what you really want, to not be afraid to take chances. That's one thing I've really learned is in your life, there's going to be opportunities where you can either take the chance or you can just play it safe and stay where you are. And a lot of times just taking that chance is going to be what's going to get you to the next stage of your life or what you can build off for future. Those students are the ones that go on to be a lot more successful.
In some majors, it's easier to show your work, but for other ones, it is hard to show their value. What can we do to stand out when we are just getting ready?
With graphic design, it's a little bit easier. You can build a portfolio that way, but for other professions that aren't so visual, I think sometimes it would be hard because certain majors, you might not be able to find a job doing something in that field until you have the degree. I'm thinking like, what if you're going for law enforcement or fire? There's probably pretty limited what you can do in that area. There probably is opportunities like volunteer or programs for young people that are looking to get into those areas and to be able to get letters of recommendation and stuff like that from people that know you.
Sometimes we feel that if a job is not the dream job, it is a waste of our time. Still, there is a value in every single environment.
I would say don't be scared to go after the job that you really want. But sometimes if you can't find that job in the moment, maybe you'll find another job that you'll still learn skills from that you can build on for the next opportunity when you can do what you really want to do. Or maybe you'll end up realizing that what you really want to do isn't what you thought you wanted to do in the first place.
As students, we wait for a door to open, but we stay quiet because we are afraid to make a mistake. Michael Rose believes that there is something much more important than just waiting for an opportunity.
Start making connections. Talk to your fellow students. Talk to your instructors. If there's a field that you really want to go into, reach out to people that might have experience in that field, especially somewhere like Yuma. A lot of times it might matter who you know. It might not get you the job, but at least it might get your application looked at instead of just glossed over.
For the full episode, you can catch Siendo Primero on KAWC.org under the Shows tab. KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.